At night, a large jack-o'-lantern grins behind the darkened leaves of a tree. A light glows inside its wide carved mouth and eyes. A title appears, Halloween Town. A wind rustles the branches of the tree and casts uneven shadows across the jack-o'-lantern's face. Through its triangular nose, a candle becomes visible inside the hollowed-out body of the pumpkin, its flame flickering in the breeze. The flame is blown out. In a suburban neighborhood, children in Halloween costumes gather on the porch of a house. Kids run throughout the street to various houses. Adults accompany younger children. A young brown-haired girl peers out the front window of one of the houses. She watches as a group of kids pauses outside her home.
Hey, wait a minute. What about this house?
Forget that house. Let's go to the next one.
Somebody's coming.
Come on, Sophie. You know nobody ever comes here on Halloween.
But Mom, it's just a costume party. You've got to let me go. The whole world is going. Okay, if I don't go, I'll be a freak.
You know,
here you go.
The odds were 50%. I get one normal sister.
What? Mom, I'm 13, okay? I'm practically a grown-up. I'm certainly old enough to make my own choices. Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Is there an age for that?
Look, Marnie, I am sorry, but you are not going out on Halloween.
Why?
I have my reasons, and I will explain them to you when you're taller.
Mom, you've been saying that for, like, my whole life, okay? It's just one night. What is the big deal?
It does seem a little unfair. I mean, seeing as how Marnie likes weird stuff so much.
Yeah, Halloween is, like, made for her.
Skeletons, witches, vampires. You know, she spends our whole math class drawing ghosts in her notebook.
Guys!
All right, that's all. Thank you all for coming. You've been a lovely audience, but the show is over. Marnie will see you all tomorrow.
Mom!
See you later, Marnie.
Here's your broom.
We'll bring you some candy.
Pumpkin.
Marnie's two friends leave.
I'm so sick of this. I want to know why we can't be like other kids and go out on Halloween. I mean, my poor little sister should be out trick-or-treating. But look at her. You've kept her from a normal childhood, and it's turned her into a wall ornament.
Well, I think it's obvious why Halloween is bad. I mean, that whole razor blade and the apple thing was an urban myth, of course. But then all that candy causes cavities and gum disease, and those masks everybody wears have these weird kind of toxic fumes inside that make your arms go limp, and
it's totally too late for him.
Marnie, I'm sorry. I know that you want to go out with your friends, but there are just some things about Halloween that you don't understand.
Oh, right. Like there's some big, mysterious reason why we can't go out. Face it, Mom. You don't trust your own kids.
That is not true.
Oh, yes, it is. You keep us all in this big bubble. I mean, how are we supposed to grow up if we can't explore the world, try new stuff, and take some risks?
Marnie, I am just trying to protect you.
Yeah, you're protecting us from being anything but a bunch of vegetables.
Marnie sits.
Hey, look, I'm a potato. Are you happy now? Maybe I'll put down some roots in the carpet.
Oh, no, Marnie. It's too dangerous. There are things about vegetables that you don't understand.
Marnie's mom gives her a stern look, and the teen crosses her arms.
Somebody's coming.
The mother moves Sophie from the window.
Come, my little wall ornament. Let's get you washed up for dinner.
Coming.
Come on, sweetie.
Marnie's brother shakes his head.
Why are you so obsessed with Halloween? I mean, it's just like Mom says. It gives little kids dumb ideas about there being magic. Like, that helps them prepare for life. Personally, give me a good nature documentary any day.
Halloween is cool, nature boy. I mean, it's exciting, strange, and ancient. Plus, Mom and Dad met on Halloween.
Shh, what are you trying to do? You know how talking about Dad always bums Mom out? I mean, why can't you pick some other holiday to get hung up on, like Arbor Day? Trees are important too, you know.
Marnie rolls her eyes and leans back in her armchair. Outside, as kids in costumes walk around, close-set lights speed through the night sky. A yellow school bus with blazing headlights flies toward the ground. A bus stop sign falls from the sky, and the bus hovers above it. An older woman with curly blonde hair steps out of the bus. She opens an umbrella and uses it to drift to the ground. She glances back at a carpet bag purse wiggling on the bus's step.
Oh, come on.
The purse continues wiggling in place.
Come on.
The purse wiggles rapidly. The woman shrugs.
Suit yourself.
She smirks and walks forward along a sidewalk. The purse slips off its perch, then glides over the sidewalk as it catches up to her. It floats up to her hand. She pats the purse affectionately. At home, a pile of chocolate chip cookies sit on a plate. Sophie puts a bowl on a table, then spots them. She takes one.
No, 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 no.
Come on, Mom. It's just one cookie.
Not before dinner, Sophie.
Marnie's right. You never let us do anything fun.
Oh, you can have a cookie after dinner.
Sophie turns away, pouting.
I want that cookie. I really want that cookie.
Sophie stares off, her brow furrowed. Behind her, one of the cookies rises off the plate and drifts toward her. The mother turns around and spots the cookie hovering in the air.
Again.
She snatches the cookie and stuffs it into her mouth. Sophie whirls around.
Are you eating a cookie?
Go sit down.
Good thing she doesn't like liver.
Hey, dear. Mother.
Grandma!
What's happening here?
Grandma!
Oh, so wonderful to see you with the children again.
Oh, my. How you've grown. Oh.
Did you bring us presents?
Sophie.
Oh, presents. And what kind of a grandma do you think I'd be if I didn't bring you presents?
Yes.
They're right here in my suitcase. I don't know where that thing went to. Just a minute.
She grabs her purse.
Now, where did you get to, darling? Come on. Here it is.
How come you've been gone so long, Grandma?
Well, you know one thing and another.
The mother glares.
But the important thing is that I'm here now. And I'm so glad to see you. Oh. Come on.
Marnie approaches her mother.
Hey, Mom, do you think you and Grandma could, like, not fight for once? I mean, we haven't seen her in over a year.
Grandma Aggie's the one who always starts it.
Does not.
Does too.
Does not.
Does too.
Does not.
Eureka!
Aggie pulls a skeleton from her purse.
Candy!
Oh, that's the spirit?
Oh, wow.
Put on our bikinis and go swimming in it. Oh, and then we'll put up the decorations so we can get this party started.
Look, Grandma dressed up for Halloween.
What? Oh, yes, of course I did. I always do.
She picks out a string of garlic.
I want you to go and hang this on the door now, dear. It annoys the vampires.
This bag defies logic. How does all this stuff fit in here?
I don't know.
Aggie approaches her daughter.
You know, dear, if I'm not mistaken, this is Marnie's 13th Halloween. Wonderfully lucky number 13.
Totally. Yes, I'm well aware of what number it is, Mother.
Hey, look! A pentagram.
Wow.
Lon Chaney had one of these on his palm when he got bitten by that werewolf.
So he did. Always said the movies can teach us about life.
Mother, as I just got through telling Marnie, Halloween is not something
Grandma?
Well, now, why don't you put out the pumpkins, you see? They have such cute little faces, just like yours.
Neat.
Oh, and I thought you'd appreciate these.
An etched rock.
Hieroglyphics.
Mother.
You know, these look like the ones from the Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Very good. I'll bet you get A's in school.
Actually, she gets B's and C's. I get the A's.
Oh.
Marnie hits him.
No, Grandma, this is totally awesome. I mean, nobody around here really appreciates my taste in weird stuff.
Encouragement, not good.
No.
And you know what else? I have deja vu a lot. I mean, like, all the time.
Really?
Marnie nods.
Well, you know, if you could practice...
Mother, could I talk to you in the kitchen for just 1 minute?
Absolutely, dear. As soon as I get the children into their costumes.
Costumes?
Aggie hands a red garment to Marnie. Wow.
And the ghost. Oh.
She puts a white sheet over Sophie.
Ooh. Oh, yes, oh, this is the winner.
Aggie puts a Viking helmet with attached hair on her grandson's head.
Awesome. I'm a Wiccan.
I'm a ghost.
I think I'm a big pimple.
All right, that's it. Mother, these children are not going out trick-or-treating, and now it is time for dinner.
But, Mom...
No, no, she's right. She's right. We'll eat the candy later.
Okay.
Come on, here we go.
Now at the dinner table.
Oh, no, dear, it's more like a moaning sound. You know, ghosts tend to be very depressed creatures anyway. Like this.
Well, Mother, your visit's been very educational. But it's time for bed.
Oh, Mom.
Oh, oh, she's right. Your mother and I need to talk about grown-up things anyway.
Can't you at least tell us a bedtime story?
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah. I mean, horrible idea.
Come on, Mom, please. Please, please.
Please.
Well,
the mother eyes Marnie.
All right, but just one.
Yes! Oh. See you upstairs, Grandma.
You guys get ready for bed. We'll be right up.
Oh, I miss them so. You know, dear, I've been thinking I'd love to have you move back home, Gwen. I mean, there's plenty of room for all of you at my house.
Mother?
And since William's passed on, there's nothing to hold you here.
Nothing has to hold me here, Mother. I like being here. I can have a normal life here. They can have a normal life here.
Oh, being normal is vastly overrated.
Well, I like being normal. You know, Mother, as much as I want the kids to know their family... The fact is, you're not normal. Every time you come into this house, it's chaos and the candy and the decorations and the... Mother, Mom, let's not fight again. I know, you're only here for a couple of hours. Go and tell them a story. Talk to them and get to know them. But on your honor, don't tell them about home. Your home, I mean.
Oh, don't worry, dear. I won't tell them a thing.
Smiling, Gwen mouths the words, thank you. Upstairs, Aggie sits in the girl's room.
Hi. Just came by to check that everyone's got their thermostat set to 68 degrees because it's important to conserve energy during the evening hours.
Dylan,
and
just get in here.
What story are you going to tell us, Grandma? Is it one I know?
Oh, no, I wouldn't think so. My story is about a magical place where many different sorts of creatures live together in peace.
Like Cleveland?
Aggie blinks.
I hear they have a nice school district.
Well, actually, the place I'm speaking of is called Halloween Town. And the residents are a bit more exotic. Monsters, goblins, ghosts, and vampires, gnomes, and skeletons.
Do they have Dybbuk's and Banshees there, too?
By the dozens. And, of course, a few very fine witches.
Marnie grins.
I don't like witches. They're mean and scary.
Oh, no, 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 sweetheart. I mean, they're just like everyone else. Some are kind, some are mean. That's the way they use their magic. You can't tell what's in a monster's heart just by looking at them. I mean, sometimes some of the slimiest, squanchiest, ugliest little monsters turn out to be the nicest.
I want to go there.
Oh.
Excuse me, but we have an impressionable young child here. I think we should make it clear that this place we're talking about is just pretend.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, actually, I have to confess that I didn't make it up. I read about it in a book. So you see, maybe it is real.
A book? What book?
Aggie holds up a thin book.
There. Halloween Town.
Dylan and Marnie gawk.
Let me see.
All right.
Look, a ghost. Just like we were playing, Grandma.
Aggie flips to another page.
Oh, look, and there's a werewolf and a vampire and a gnome.
Dog man.
Oh, Grandma, this book is so neat. It has, like, all the stuff I'm interested in.
Great, the weirdo encyclopedia.
You snot man. Look, it's Marnie.
The page shows an illustration of a young brown-haired witch riding a broomstick over the town. Marnie furrows her brow, then takes a book from Aggie and considers the picture.
It is me.
Aggie gives Marnie a meaningful look.
She doesn't look anything like you. She's way too cute.
Oh, yeah, and this is from a guy who could win an ugly contest.
Well, there is quite a resemblance. Oh, perhaps Marnie has a secret life we don't know anything about.
Well, if she is a witch, she's got the weird part down pat. It's just the magic powers she's missing.
What about it, dear? Have you cast any spells or taken midnight flights through the sky?
I wish. But the truth is, there's nothing special about me.
Oh, no, no, dear, you're very special. You're a Cromwell. And since the dawn of time, the Cromwells have been
Mother.
The most powerful.
Aggie freezes.
It's getting late. You wouldn't want to miss your bus back home.
Grandma has to go?
Gwen nods.
But can't you stay overnight, Grandma?
Oh, no, dear, no, your mother's quite right. If I don't head home by midnight, well, it's a long time until the next bus. So kiss Grandma goodnight. Good night, dear. Don't let the boogeyman by. And I'll be back to see you all as soon as I can.
That's lights out, you two. Mother, I am going to put Dylan to bed, and then I will meet you down in the kitchen in 1 minute.
Of course, dear.
Good night, Grandma.
Aggie smiles at her granddaughters.
Bye.
Marnie's chin quivers. Aggie's eyes linger on her as she steps out of the room. Shifting on her bed, Marnie grabs the covers and leans back against her headboard. She stares at the Halloween Town book resting on her lap. She reaches for a light beside her. The room goes dark. As Sophie sleeps in a bed next to hers, Marnie presses the book to her chest and hugs it. Downstairs in the kitchen, Aggie dries a cup with a towel. Gwen puts fried chicken away into a container.
And after I specifically told you not to tell them anything about it.
I was only trying to do what you should have done long ago. Are you on the verge of breaking a tradition that goes back more than 1,000 years?
Your tradition, Mother, not mine. Marnie is my daughter, and if I decide not to train her like a witch, then it's none of your business.
A witch's 13th Halloween is supposed to mark the completion of her training.
Marnie sneaks downstairs.
If she doesn't at least begin tonight, her powers will be lost forever.
Yes, and she'll finally be human. She'll finally be normal, like her brother, like her father, and like Sophie will be after her.
When a human father, you're only lucky that you have two children that are showing powers at all. Do you really want them to go through life doing things the hard way? I mean, look at you with your plastic bowls. When you know leftover chicken keeps better when it's back on the bone.
Aggie turns the food into a chicken.
Get that thing out of here right now.
Aggie flaps her arms. The chicken turns back into fried pieces.
For years, you have been coming here. You've been dropping hints to Marnie, and you've been badgering me to start her training. I know that that's why you came here tonight, Mother, but the fight is over. You know that? The clock has finally run out. And you can just go home.
Gwen, as much as I think you're making a terrible mistake with Marnie, you're wrong about why I came here tonight. The fact is, I came to ask for your help.
My help? With what?
Well, something is wrong at home. Something's happening. Every day, I find another neighbor has changed, turned hateful, it's frightening. And soon after that, they disappear altogether.
Oh, please, Mother, my neighbors disappear sometimes, too. It's called moving.
Oh, Gwendolyn, I'm quite serious about this. It's as though something or someone is trying to return us to the dark times. And I fear my powers alone may not be enough to stop it. I need another Cromwell, which I need you.
Mother... There are plenty of other witches and warlocks in Halloween Town. Why don't you recruit one of them?
Oh, I've tried. You know how it is today. No one wants to get involved.
Mother, I'm sure that you believe that there's some kind of problem. But I can't just leave my kids to go fight some nameless force in another world that I have nothing to do with.
Aggie glowers.
Nothing to do with? Well, fine. Bury your head in the sand of that precious mortal world of yours. Perhaps the Cromwell line will end with you. But let's just hope that Halloween Town doesn't come to an end along with it.
Marnie leaves thoughtfully. Aggie clenches her fists and moves to a doorway.
Enjoy your leftovers, dear.
Mother.
Upstairs.
And then she talked about all this weird stuff that's happening in Halloween Town, like it's a real place. And then she turned our leftovers into a live chicken standing right there in the bowl. And that's when I knew that she is a witch, and so is Mom, and so am I, because they both said so. What do you think?
I think it proves insanity is hereditary. I just hope boys are immune.
Marnie and Dylan glance aside, then hurry to a window. They watch as Aggie walks down the street with her purse gliding after her.
It must be, one of those radio-controlled models.
She's leaving. She's going back to Halloween Town. I gotta go after her.
Go after her? Are you crazy?
I have to go. If she doesn't start training me as a witch tonight, I could lose my powers forever.
You don't really believe all this witch stuff is true, do you?
Dylan, haven't you ever wondered about the stuff that goes on in our house?
No.
Like why Mom won't let us talk about, watch, or read anything that has the word magic in it?
No.
Haven't you ever wondered why we pretend Halloween doesn't exist? Or why I have deja vu all the time? Or why stuff seems to fall off the shelves whenever Sophie is a tantrum?
No.
Well, I have. And now that I've found out the truth, I'm not gonna stay here and turn all boring and human like you.
What do you mean, boring like me?
Downstairs, Gwen grimaces and puts Aggie's string of garlic into a paper bag.
It removes mold and fungus, just like magic.
No, it doesn't.
Marnie sneaks out the front door.
Thanks, Boar Buster.
Outside, Marnie hurries away in a red Wiccan costume.
Marnie, wait up! What are you doing here?
I'm the man of the house. I gotta keep an eye on you. Plus, I'm gonna have a hard time getting back to sleep till I find out if you're crazy or not.
Then help me find her. She's gotta be around here somewhere. There she is.
Aggie waits at the bus stop.
Get down. Where did that bus stop come from?
I don't know. Can I put my shoe on now?
I'm having that deja vu feeling again.
You knew I was gonna put on my shoe?
No. This whole thing, the bus stop, Grandma. Wait. Maybe it's not deja vu at all. Maybe I'm seeing the future.
Right. Now you can see the future. Tell me, what am I gonna have for breakfast?
Why are you such a downer?
Why are you such a nutcase?
Downer.
Nutcase?
The yellow bus drives over.
Where'd that bus come from? I don't know, but I'm not missing it.
Aggie boards the bus.
Hi, Skinner.
Hello, Aggie.
She sits up front. Dylan and Marnie climb inside through a back door.
Made it.
The bus drives away. Marnie and Dylan observe Aggie from a back seat.
What are you doing? Why don't we go sit up with Grandma?
No, not yet. I don't want to take a chance of her stopping the bus to send us home.
A green light glows outside the window.
What?
The bus flies through a cloudy sky.
Stopping the bus where?
The kids eye a pair of green monsters.
There I was, trying to spook this fellow. He was buying nachos at the mini-mart when this smart aleck child with the dreadful little monster mask runs up to me and yells, "Daddy!" I ask him, "Where is the mist?"
It's not like the old days. People are cheap. I race a demon from the underworld, and they say, "Big deal, I saw the same thing on Jerry Springer."
Two women in pointy hats sit together.
Must be, you know, one of those chartered buses coming back from a costume party at the Moose Lodge.
Marnie and Dylan grip the seat in front of them as the bus hurtles forward. The bus slows as it dips behind a city hall building in a sunny town. A giant unlit jack-o'-lantern sits in the town square while monsters walk past. The bus pulls over in front of City Hall.
Here.
Yeah, where's here?
A man in a red uniform helps people off the bus. He helps Aggie down. An elderly woman bumps into her.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Aggie! How are you, dear?
Oh, Harriet, I'm fine.
Been to visit the mortals, eh? Didn't have time this year myself. Doing some volunteer work down at the headless shelter. Poor dears. Care for a muffin? I baked them for the folks at the shelter. Didn't occur to me they couldn't eat them. No heads. Oh, well, must be off. Take care.
A figure watches Aggie and Harriet from a higher location. On the street, Aggie's gaze falls on the large jack-o'-lantern, its surface marred by cracks. She moves on. Marnie and Dylan climb out of the back of the bus.
Whoa!
A pirate skeleton passes.
I don't get it! Monsters are just pretend!
Dylan, this is it!
Mom said they were just pretend.
Dylan, this is Halloween Town, just like the book.
Or maybe we fell asleep on the bus. Yeah, that's it. It's all a dream.
Decorations, the goblins, the witches, the ghosts.
And Grandma, she was a dream too.
Oh no, Grandma, where'd she go?
A pointy-eared cop walks by.
She's gotta be around here somewhere.
Dylan tugs on her arm.
We've got to find her. What are you doing? We're gonna lose.
He points. Sophie stands at the bus stop.
Sophie! How did you get here?
Careful, she could be a mirage.
Would you stop? How did you get here?
I followed you onto the bus.
But you were asleep.
I was pretending.
See, you're a bad influence.
The pumpkin doesn't look very nice like in the book.
Marnie peers at it.
You're right. It is different.
It's the bad thing.
How do you know about that?
What bad thing?
A man approaches.
Well, hello there. I don't believe we've met. And that means I'm in trouble, because the mayor's supposed to know everybody.
I'm Sophie.
Pardon?
Sophie.
What?
Sophie.
I can't hear you. I seem to have a...
He pulls out a lollipop.
Huge lollipop in my ear.
Sophie beams.
Here you are, Sophie.
No, thanks.
Okay.
The lollipop disappears. Marnie blinks and Sophie grins.
Neat trick. I'm Marnie.
They shake hands.
Calabar. And that wasn't a trick. I'm a warlock in my off hours.
Calabar glances at Dylan.
And, you are?
Human.
This is my brother, Dylan. We're Aggie Cromwell's grandkids.
Wait a minute. Does that mean... Are you Gwen's kids?
Marnie nods.
You know our mom?
Well, I did a long time ago.
He shifts his gaze.
Is she here with you?
No, but that's okay. Oh, see, we came with our grandma, and we kind of lost her in the crowd getting off the bus. Do you know where she lives?
Oh, of course. She's lived in the same house for 200 years. I'll get Benny to run you up there.
An old-fashioned black and yellow cab drives down the street toward them.
We really appreciate you doing this for us.
A skeleton drives.
Howdy, Mayor. What's the rush? I'm on my lunch hour. Play a fish. Just kidding. What's the thing?
Well, I found a bunch of Cromwells in the town square. Need you to give them a lift up to their grandma's place.
Sure. It's just over the river and through the woods. No, actually, it's just two streets over and up a quarter mile past the old movie theater.
Say hi to Aggie for me, and there you go.
He's a much better driver than he is a comedian.
Hey!
Thanks for your help.
So long, Sophie.
Sophie!
He waves. The taxi peels off, a sign on its roof reading, Psychic Cab. Benny steers with one skeletal hand while Dylan ogles him from the back seat. Marnie eyes her brother, then leans toward him across Sophie in the middle.
It's not polite to stare. Polite? Let's talk about how legal it is to drive with no eyeballs.
So, first time in town for you kids?
Yeah, we just got here on the bus. So amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice place. Better than a lot of graveyards I've hung out in. But that don't mean you kids can go running around here by yourselves.
Why not?
Well, let's just say that there are characters around here that ain't the most savory. Like that kid, Luke.
Marnie eyes a red-haired teen.
Who is he?
He's just a local punk. Thinks he's a big shot just because he got a nose job and had a few warts removed. Claims some shadow creature gave it to him.
The cab pulls to a stop in front of a gated mansion.
Well, here we are. Shea Cromwell.
Cool.
Dylan and Sophie climb out.
Thanks for the ride. Do you take dollars?
Don't worry about it. Catch me in the next life.
Thanks.
Marnie slides out of the back seat.
See you, kids.
Bye. He's probably animatronic. Disneyland's full of stuff like that.
Here, when Mr. Lincoln drives me to the store, we'll talk.
They approach the padlocked gate.
Well, it's locked. Better head home.
No way. This is the perfect chance for me to try my powers.
Powers? What powers?
Well, I don't know. I haven't tried them yet. Abracadabra.
She glances at Dylan, who raises his eyebrows.
Open sesame?
Nothing happens. Dylan rolls his eyes.
Let's see. Big iron lock that keeps us out. Open up your big iron mouth.
You call that a spell? Out and mouth don't even rhyme.
Will you be quiet?
You couldn't open a can of dog food with a spell like that.
Look, I'm trying to concentrate here.
Sophie eyes the lock, then the gate swings open.
Sophie, how did you do that?
I pushed. Plus, I wish the lock would turn into a frog.
Sophie runs after her siblings. A green frog sits on a rock below. In the house, Aggie holds a box that reads Instant Witch's Brew. She opens it and pours the contents into a cauldron.
Ooh. This should do it.
She places the smoking cauldron inside a microwave.
Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble.
She looks up.
But he's coming.
Aggie goes to the front door. The three kids approach.
Hi, yes. Grandma.
Oh, my stars. How did you get here?
On the bus?
I came to start my training, Grandma.
Your train? Oh, it was you outside the kitchen. I thought I heard someone listening. Well, I suppose I could assume your mother doesn't know you're here. I dare say that she's going to be very upset when she finds you're gone.
Can't we just call her?
No, dear. I'm afraid we haven't worked out long-distance calling between worlds yet. No, I'll have to take you home myself.
Oh, but you can't take us home.
Yeah, we want to help you fight the bad thing.
Yeah, the bad thing, or the force field, whatever it is. You said you needed another Cromwell witch. That could be me. You can train me.
Yeah, well, I suppose it'd be all right. You could stay a little while. As long as we get you home before it's midnight in the mortal world.
But that's only 2 hours from now.
Well, don't panic, dear. You see, time works differently in Halloween Town. 2 hours there might be 2 days here, or 2 weeks if we're on vacation.
What's this, Grandma?
Ah, you've discovered the witch's glass. It's been handed down from the Cromwell clan over many generations. I've been using it to keep my eye on things.
Aggie waves her hands over a massive liquid-filled pot.
Now the glass shows me that some evil force is at work here in Halloween Town.
A scarred greenish face appears.
Also, the worst is yet to come.
What can we do to stop it?
I'll show you.
Aggie picks up a long wooden box off a mantel behind Marnie.
Follow me. Merlin himself used this talisman to end the Dark Ages over in the mortal world, and I think it's just the thing to tackle our troubles here in Halloween Town.
Aggie takes the cauldron out of the microwave.
Are you cooking chowder, Grandma? I like chowder.
Oh, no, dear. This is witch's brew. It's a little recipe that I picked up in the 6th century, around King Arthur's time.
King Arthur? How's this stuff gonna help?
Oh, by bringing this talisman back to life.
Claws atop a handle grip a glass ball.
Are you gonna use your magic to raise some spirits, have a big seance, and call on the forces of darkness to get it going?
No. I'm just gonna fill it up.
and see if the light goes on.
She scoops the brew into the talisman's handle.
If I can get it lit and install it properly, it should suffice to drive away this force that threatens us.
That's it? You just fill it up?
I do have to say a spell over it. That's why I came to ask your mother to help me. You see, spells are much more powerful when more than one witch joins in. Especially if they're Cromwell's.
Well, I'll help you.
Oh, that's very sweet of you, dear. But you haven't been trained yet. And since your mother isn't of the mind to help, I guess I'm just on my own.
She screws on a cap at the bottom of the handle. The kids observe Aggie, who sprinkles a powder on the talisman's glass ball.
Bitty mach, bitty gifir, bitty gain, cleedeth, freeth, annoyeth, bin.
An orange-yellow light flickers inside the glass ball, then goes out.
Oh, rat. That's what I get for trying to use instant. Just doesn't work like it does when you make it from scratch.
Well, that's something I can help you with. I can cook.
If you count pouring cereal.
Ow! Well, let's look at the original recipe. Come over here. Now, let's look. Let's all go. Now, see, here we are. That's it. Vampire's fang, hair of a werewolf, sweat of a ghost. I suppose we could get these ingredients in town, but we have to be careful not to reveal our true purpose. I can't be certain who to trust anymore.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Marnie and Aggie turn to Dylan. Aggie raises her eyebrows.
All right.
Yes. And it's settled. Oh.
They pile their hands.
Are you fighting a losing battle with hair loss? Is hair growing everywhere but where you need it?
At home, Gwen watches TV and eats Aggie's candy from a paper bag.
Our special formula for hair replacement works like magic.
Now that works just like magic.
She turns the TV off and stands. Upstairs, Gwen peers into Dylan's bedroom.
Dylan?
She steps into the hallway.
Marnie? Sophie?
She looks into their empty room.
Mother!
Now, at the Halloween Town Square. Aggie holds Sophia's hand as they stroll.
Is there going to be a Halloween party today, Grandma? Everybody's all dressed up.
Oh, this is the way we always dress, dear. The people who started your Halloween just imitated our traditions. Mortals see, mortals do. That's the way your mother ran into your father, by crashing a Halloween party. He loved her witch's costume.
A cyclops waves.
Hello, Aggie.
Hello, Sadie. Mm-hmm. What are you so happy about? I thought you didn't want to come.
I decided this really is a dream, so why worry?
I like Halloween Town. Why do you have to live so far away, Grandma?
Well, there was a time when humans and monsters and witches and vampires and all the rest of us could be together. Just the dark times. There was a bad mix because humans feared us and tried to destroy us. So we did our best to make them miserable in return. But it was turning us evil, which we are not. So we decided to create our own world.
Oh, kind of like when Marnie and I got separate rooms.
Precisely. And from that day on, we were able to settle down and have homes and children and jobs and an excellent bowling league. Oh.
Aggie waves to a bowling team. Later, they near a movie theater.
We get really good movies, like It's a Wonderful Death. Oh, it's closed.
Harriet, now a wrinkled crone, bumps into Aggie.
Harriet.
The mayor.
Oh, children.
Aggie and the kids follow Calabar into an ice cream shop.
Howdy.
Calabar, could I speak to you for a moment?
Of course. Well, hello again, Sophie.
Sophie!
Sophie, I think I have an extra Sunday. Oh!
Calabar.
Yes.
I just ran into Harriet, and she's completely changed. Her face, she was like a wild animal. And she was fine a couple of hours ago.
Really?
This is what I've been telling you about. If she's like the others, then by tomorrow she'll have disappeared altogether.
Calabar regards her.
I have to apologize to you, Aggie.
I didn't take you seriously about this thing at first. I think you've uncovered something very serious.
What is it? What's wrong?
Well, I don't have all the details yet, but I do know one thing. I want you to leave this alone for now, especially with the children. It's much too dangerous for you to be involved with by yourself. Oh. Promise me that?
Aggie purses her lips and glares.
You Cromwells are impossible. Just give me 2 days.
He steps toward the door, then glances back. Aggie cocks her head.
Just 2 days, that's all.
She gazes off to the side.
Come along, children, but let's be real careful. And Marnie, not a word. Oh, Marnie, she's found the brooms.
Flying brooms?
Wow.
At a broom store.
Well, Marnie.
Oh, Grandma, look at these things.
Yes, they are a bit more snazzier than when I was a girl.
Can I get one, please? Please, Grandma, please?
Yes, well, it is the rite of passage for witches your age.
Yes.
Well, looks like you got your on our windsweeper 5,000.
Is that a good one?
Well, let's see here. Unibody construction. Woo! Chrome detailing. A microchip directional system. Well, it's the top of the line. If you think you can handle it.
Oh, handle it. This is a Cromwell you're talking to, dear. She'll be an expert in no time.
Check it out.
Well, how do you make it go?
Oh, you know, by magic.
Oh, right. I knew that.
How sweet. Buying little Marley here her first broom, huh?
It's Marnie.
This is a local boy, Luke.
Hey, don't sell me too short there, Grammy. I'm something of a big cheese around here. Maybe I can show you around sometime. Buy you an ice cream. The Abominable Snowman has a little shop down the street.
You know, I was kind of hungry, but then I smelled something stinky. It must have been the big cheese.
Perhaps another time.
Yeah, like never.
You know, if you people were smart, you'd be nice to me. I'm friends with some very powerful creatures around here, you know.
Luke bumps into some broomsticks and knocks them down. Marnie and Dylan smirk. Luke leaves.
Oh, that Luke dude. He's turned into such a wiener. All right, now, if you want to be totally rad, you got to have the Dayglow bristles. Now, the purple dragonfly here, it's awesome. But I prefer the metallic blue myself.
This one. It's perfect. Can I get it, Grandma, please?
Well, you want me to write that up for you?
No. We'll fly it out.
Marnie and Aggie fly. With Marnie sitting behind her, Aggie steers the yellow broomstick through the air above the town. They speed past clouds.
Oh, Grandma, this is so totally cool.
Well, there's a reason why witches don't drive minivans.
Well, how does magic make it go?
Magic is really very simple. All you have to do is want something, and then let yourself have it. Now hang on tight. Let's see what this can do.
Marnie grins as Aggie tilts the broomstick handle upwards.
What a witch's life it is!
Marnie waves at Dylan and Sophie below.
I think so.
Gwen glowers.
Mommy!
Sophie hugs her.
Oh, I'm sorry if we worried you, dear. I was going to get them back just as soon as I possibly thought that I could.
Mother, I cannot believe that you brought them here in the first place.
But I didn't. They came to see me.
I wanted to help Grandma fight the bad thing.
And I came to get my training.
Training?
And I tried to stop Mom, but they hypnotized me.
And I thought you were brave.
Hey, this is Mom.
Stop it. I don't want to hear any more excuses. I want you all just to get back on that bus because we are going home.
But Mom, Grandma needs help. And since you won't help her, she needs the only other Cromwell witch there is, me.
You are not a witch.
Oh, yes, I am, no thanks to you. You're gonna let my powers go away forever.
Marnie, there is so much more involved in this than you understand.
I understand that I am here, and I've got a broom, and I'm gonna learn everything that Grandma can teach me.
She puts an arm around Aggie.
You will not. It's her birthright. She was born in the human world, and human is what she'll be.
No, I won't.
You put that broom down right now, young lady. You are grounded.
Marnie lowers her gaze and licks her lips. Gwen shifts her glare over to Aggie.
Say goodbye to Grandma, everybody. It's time for us to go home.
Bye, Grandma.
Bye. Gwen puts an arm around Dylan and guides him away.
Marnie?
Her gaze lowered, Marnie sullenly hands the broom to Aggie.
Thanks, Grandma. It was a great ride.
She kisses her grandma's cheek. Aggie pats her on the back, and the teen strides past her mother. Gwen attempts to hug her, then draws back and gazes after her before giving Aggie a long look. Aggie averts her gaze, then sadly watches Gwen go after her children. Now at a ticket booth, a man with two different heads and conjoined chests stands behind a counter. Gwen walks over.
There's nothing wrong with my tie.
Plenty wrong with it. Look at it.
I can't look at it without taking my head off.
I'm never talking to you again,
you make
now.
My life miserable.
Excuse me.
I am so sick of you drinking all this caffeine. You give me a headache. You're upsetting my stomach. I am so tired of this. I want to upset your stomach. You're like hot. You don't even know which hand is the one. Ow! You don't even know which
excuse
hand
is
the one. Excuse me. What?
Excuse me. Will you please tell me what time the next bus leaves to the mortal world?
The bus?
Which bus?
Mortal world? Isn't that the number six? That's the only one we got.
Hey, that's my espresso.
No. Hey.
And I'm never going to school again. And I'm going to move someplace really far away and join a motorcycle gang.
Marnie, this is not our world. Now drop it.
No, I got the half cap.
Excuse me.
I'm on break.
Well, it used to be your world. Are you going to get tired of us, too? Oh, sorry. Those aren't my kids. They used to be my kids, but I've moved on. Marnie, not now.
You have the schedule.
I don't have the schedule. Why do I have to do everything around here?
Excuse me. What about the bus?
It'll be several hours. Yeah, several hours. Engine trouble. Yeah, that's it. Schedule change. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, what do you know? The bus isn't running. I guess we can't leave after all. Yay!
What time is it?
There must be somewhere.
You can't even tell.
Hey, the mayor seems like a nice guy. Maybe he can help.
Tell him.
Help.
That's a very good idea. Let's go.
I don't care if the bus is coming on. That's not our job. Our job is to sell tickets. What do you know about it? There you go with the caffeine again.
What's wrong with the caffeine?
You're killing me.
At City Hall, Gwen and her three children climb the steps toward the entrance. Now in a large office, a blackbird sits in a cage. Calabar stands behind a desk, writing something with a feather quill. A pig-nosed bat emerges from a small coffin on his desk.
Someone here to see you, boss.
Calabar looks up as Gwen and the kids enter. He shuts the coffin on the bat.
Gwen.
Calabar. You're the mayor?
Stepping closer, Calabar stares.
Well, I'm... Yes. You didn't hear about the election?
No. Well,
it's just a title, really. I have big plans for all of us here in Halloween Town.
She grins.
You are the last person I ever expected to see here. It's been a long time, huh?
He holds up a finger, then grabs a withered black rose from a vase. It magically blooms into life, turning red. Gwen takes the flower.
You always did let your magic do the talking. Thank you.
You used to like it. Or have you forgotten that part?
No.
What's going on here?
I have no idea.
You know, I always hoped you'd come back. Now here you are. Say, I ought to show you around. We could take the Styx River cruise, have a little dinner, then I could show you all our old haunts.
Actually, I'm trying to leave. It seems the bus was delayed, and I was hoping that the...
You were hoping the mayor could help you out.
She nods.
I'm sorry.
A woman in a pincushion skirt comes in.
I'll get right to the point. I have a very urgent message. Somebody's on pins and needles.
Calabar reaches for a note on one of her pins.
Pins and needles.
She shuffles out.
This is an emergency. Won't take long. Just stay put.
I'll see what I can do for you when I return.
Thank you.
He smiles and moves past her.
Kids?
What is that all about?
Well, obviously, he's Mom's old boyfriend.
Marnie.
I guess you like magic when he does it, huh?
That's enough.
Oh, and if you marry him, I am not calling him Dad.
I'm not marrying anyone, and this discussion is over. We are going home.
Marnie presses her lips together. In the town, Aggie steps past Luke and wipes a tear. Chewing a toothpick, he saunters after her.
Go away, Luke. I'm not in the mood.
Family trouble, huh, Grammy? Guess it's just you again. You know, it must get pretty frustrating. Fighting this thing all alone, no one believing you.
What do you know about that?
I know you've got Merlin's talisman. And he wants it.
He? Who is he?
Don't know, huh? It's funny. Because he knows all about you. And about that brew you're working on, too.
Well, if he's so powerful, why is he hiding? Why doesn't he reveal himself?
You see, that's why I'm here. He wants to reveal himself. To you. Come on, Grammy, admit it. You're dying to know, right? Or is the big, powerful Cromwell witch afraid?
I don't fear him or any creature. Take me to him.
She follows Luke in Calabar's office.
But Mom, I mean, you can go home if you want to. I mean, Sophie probably doesn't belong here and Dylan thinks he's hallucinating anyway. I'll be all right by myself.
Marnie, you're 13.
But all the other witches get to do all kinds of stuff when they're 13.
Just because your grandmother said that you're a witch doesn't make you one.
She didn't have to tell me. I could feel it. I am a witch, right? Right?
Glancing at Sophie, Gwen moves Marnie closer.
So it's true. I am a witch. Well, how come I never knew? All this weird stuff's been happening to Sophie. Did that stuff happen to me?
Yes. Yes, you showed signs of having the powers, and I hid them from you, just like I am doing with Sophie. And I did it for you, because this is not your world. Your father was human, and that is the world that we live in. Period.
Look, if you want to give up your roots, that's fine. But I don't. And it's not right for you to try to make me.
Look, Grandma's going somewhere with the wiener dude.
Joining Sophie at the window, Marnie sees Aggie and Luke walking down the sidewalk together. She rushes past Gwen.
I gotta help Grandma.
Marnie, you get back here. Guys, come on.
Dylan lingers.
Why do the troublemakers get all the attention?
At the movie theater, a marquee sign outside reads, "Closed forever." Luke unlocks the chained doors. Aggie follows him inside. Luke steps through a door into a dark space, passing a web-covered statue. Aggie steps in and pauses with a frown. She takes a lit candle from the statue's clenched hand, then regards the interior of the darkened theater. On stage, a clouded void swirls in place of a screen. Aggie cautiously walks ahead. In the audience, various Halloween Town residents sit frozen with cobwebs over them, the pirate skeleton among them. Aggie looks around as she walks down an aisle. Luke takes a seat in one of the red chairs. Aggie approaches a figure near the front and moves the candle closer, illuminating Harriet's waxy, frozen face.
Harriet?
Aggie turns to the clouded void, in which a twister appears from a point in the distance, then swirls to the front. As strong winds rustle Aggie's hair, Luke grins and nods. A cloaked figure, identical to the one in the witch's glass, emerges from the void. A light shines on his green, deeply lined face, which sports a deep scar across it.
Welcome to my museum!
So this is why so many have disappeared.
No!
First you put them under an evil spell, and then you turn them into statues.
No! Not statues. They're very much alive, merely frozen in time until I need them.
To do what? To destroy our world?
Ah! I know you have Merlin's talisman. Give it to me!
I do have the talisman. As soon your hold over the creatures of Halloween Town will be broken forever!
No, you foolish witch! Do you think your magic is more powerful than mine?
Yeah, as if that could happen.
There is nothing you can do to stop me!
Zip, not a zero. Goose eggs.
I will bend the creatures of this world to my will, one by one.
2 by 2 and 3 by 3.
Will you shut up?
Sorry.
Give me the talisman.
Never.
Then suffer the consequences.
He shoots out lights.
No.
The monster fires more balls of light at Aggie, who dodges. He hits a body with a bull's head, and it flies into the void.
No! You said she'd be safe.
You cannot escape me, old woman!
Creature hasn't been born that's quick enough to catch a Cromwell!
Gwen and her kids rush in.
Mother! Grandma!
Get them!
That's it.
Leave my family alone!
I'm out of here.
Wastrel youth of benighted hours, be thee vanquished by my power!
Luke sprouts flowers.
I said powers, not flowers.
Way to go, Mom!
This is your last chance! Give me the talisman!
Never!
Keep your brother and sister back!
Gwen shoves Aggie and gets hit by the monster's blast.
Mom!
Gwen collapses into a seat, frozen.
Gwen!
Sleep now, Agatha Cromwell. And when you awake, I will be your master.
He zaps Aggie.
No! Come on! We've got to save them!
We can't save them unless we save ourselves first. Come on!
Sophie opens a door, and the monster cowers from the sunlight.
My lady!
Sophie! Grandma!
You'll be all right. Go! It's just an evil spell that freezes us.
Oh. Aggie freezes in place with her finger pointing at the team.
Marnie, let's go!
Marnie dashes out with her siblings. They hurry down a set of metal stairs at the back of the theater. On the ground, Marnie stops and Dylan bumps into her.
Oh! What are you doing? We gotta get back to Grandma's house!
No, not yet.
Not yet? Are you crazy? That shadow thing is gonna turn us into statues!
It isn't gonna follow us. Didn't you see? It can't stand the light.
Mommy and Grandma.
Marnie regards her sorrowful younger sister and crouches before her.
Don't worry. Your big sister is gonna get Mommy and Grandma back.
You are?
Well, duh. Of course I am. But there's some things we need to get first.
You're gonna do some shopping? Can't this wait?
No, we have to finish that witch's brew. Getting the talisman lit is our only chance of saving Mom and Grandma. Here, I copied the ingredients from Grandma's cookbook.
Hair of a werewolf, sweat of a ghost?
Come on, Dylan. We're Cromwells. Together, we can conquer anything.
Marnie puts out her hand. Sophie smiles and lays her own on top of it. Dylan looks between them.
I don't know.
He adds his hand.
Come on.
In a hair salon, a green-skinned woman reads a magazine called Vampire Fair. A werewolf spins a woman's chair to face a mirror. A pile of voluminous pink and purple hair sits atop her head.
Take a gander. Look at you, sweetheart. You are coming along like a fab five, baby.
Oh, it's working nicely.
Very, very nicely, sweetheart.
We're going to start by conquering bad hair.
Well, he is a werewolf.
Can I help you, kids?
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering if you had any part-time jobs available, maybe like after school or something.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, we don't. Oh, this sulfuric acid treatment is coming along nicely. It's really gonna split your ends and bring out those roots, baby.
But I've always wanted to become a beauty technician.
Oh, careful, Loki, careful. She's an herb, not a shrub, okay? Think salad, light, crispy.
A shirtless hairstylist nods.
Well, you know, I could really be a help, maybe sweeping the trimmings around the shop, maybe even doing some kind of hair styling.
Don't touch that, okay?
No, don't worry. I use one of these all the time, okay?
Fire spurts from the hairdryer. Dylan grabs clippers.
Will you please just
okay,
put it on?
I'll get it off, okay?
No, the other button. Okay, what I need you to do is just, it's only to be used by trained professionals, so just put the thing down.
Dylan shaves off a strip of hair from the back of the werewolf's head.
Put the thing down, Hey!
Call me if you need me.
Come back here, you little human!
The werewolf examines its hair in the mirror.
This could be a good look for me. Yeah, baby!
At a gym, an ogre-like man lifts dumbbells. More monsters play basketball while a cat-faced woman leads a dance class.
With your left hand, now we're gonna stroke. And stroke. Keep those hips moving. And stroke. Keep on going now. Stroke. And dogs, keep on up with the others. No slobbering on people, huh? Please. Stroke. And stroke. Keep on going now. Stroke.
The kids watch.
There's gotta be a ghost around here someplace. Come on.
Marnie runs off. Elsewhere in the gym, a fish man in swimming trunks and a robe descends a staircase. The kids observe. He heads toward a room labeled pool and sauna. A sign below reads, no death guard on duty.
Ghosts are dead. Why would they worry about fitness? Come on.
Marnie spots a door labeled steam room. She gestures for them to follow her. Inside, they see a heavy-set transparent man with a red hat and towel.
Look, a real ghost.
And a real sweat box.
A man opens a box for the ghost, who steps inside. The man shuts the box, leaving the ghost's head sticking out.
Right. Just drag him long enough so I can get the sweat. Would you get a grip? He can't sweat. He doesn't have a body. Just drag him.
Marnie saunters into the room and waves to the ghost. She stands beside his steam box and gestures for her siblings to come inside. Marnie grips a red lever and pulls it toward the word hotter. Dylan approaches the ghost.
Did you know that sea monkeys are actually shrimp?
No.
Keep going.
Did you know that there's no proper name for the back of the knee?
The ghost smiles.
You don't say.
Sophie puts a white towel over her head.
Very funny, kid. Now go back to your mummy. Hey, kid, I don't appreciate stereotypes like that, all right?
Marnie widens her eyes encouragingly.
Sure. Make fun of the transparent guy. Just because you can see through us doesn't mean we don't have feelings.
Marnie grabs a vial from atop a water cooler.
Woo, is it getting hot in here? Hades was nothing compared to this. Can I get some help over here? Burning up!
Marnie catches the ghost's sweat.
Attendant!
Yes, got it. Okay, come on.
Attendant! Attendant!
Thanks!
Attendant!
The ghost opens the steam box and emerges as a much skinnier man.
Attendant!
Now a three-dimensional tooth hangs in front of a building. Inside the dentist's office, an ogre-like man with an enormous nose puts a dental mirror in a squirming vampire's mouth.
I'm afraid that one's gonna have to come out.
Oh, is it going to hurt? Don't hurt me, doctor. I'm not very good with pain.
Oh, now, don't worry. You won't feel a thing.
He grabs one of the vampire's fangs with a silver tool.
Wow, doc, that didn't hurt at all.
Well, after all, I am the tooth fairy.
He drops the fang in a silver bowl held by Marnie.
Vampire's fang. Yes.
Sophie pets a dog outside.
There she is. Come on.
I got it.
Marnie stops short as Benny's cab cuts her off.
Say there, if it ain't the Cromwell kids, I hear your mother's in town.
She just, she's hanging out with our grandma. We just came to do a little shopping, but we're done now. Okay, so bye.
Hey, I gotta fare up that way anyway. Why don't you let me give you a lift? On the house.
Hey, that'd be great. Thanks.
What is it, Sophie?
The bad thing is in there.
What?
Little kids. What an imagination, huh? Come on, get in. I gotta go.
Wait, who told you our mom was here?
Hey, what's with the third degree here? Get in the cab!
Benny yanks Dylan. Sophie races over to unleash the dog.
Fetch the bone!
The dog sprints at Benny.
Not the dog!
Benny releases Dylan and slams his foot on the gas. The cab speeds away with the dog running after it. Dylan puts an arm around Sophie.
Thanks, Soph. Come on, let's get going.
At Aggie's house, Marnie adds the vial of ghost sweat to a smoking cauldron. She stirs, then grabs the handle with a cloth and carries it over to Dylan and Sophie.
Here it is. Vampire Fang Ghost Sweat Werewolf Hair a la Mode.
Marnie uses a ladle to fill the talisman's long handle with the brew. Dylan hands her the cap. Marnie screws on the cap, then turns the talisman right side up. She gazes at the unlit ball at the top. Sophie furrows her brow, and Marnie shifts her gaze while Dylan stares.
What are you waiting for? I can't remember Grandma's spell. What do you mean you can't remember? It was Old English or Welsh or something. I mean, give me a break. I have trouble remembering Agua.
I thought you said you were a witch. I mean, the least you can do is remember a dumb spell.
Hey, okay. Betty March, Betty Gunther, Betty Guggenheim is all that's bid?
Sophie grimaces and Dylan rolls his eyes.
Okay, better march, better get there, better get going before there's no more beds.
That's the best you can do? Why didn't you write it down or...
Dima, Betty Gifir.
What is it, Soph?
Beti ma, beti gefir, beti gie, lidis vitam north bid.
Marnie and Dylan beam.
That's it! How did you remember it, Soph?
It sounded pretty, so I made up a song for it. Beti ma, beti gefir. I like to make up songs.
You know, Grandma says that spells are stronger when you have more than one witch. You want to help me?
Okay.
Beti ma,
beti march,
beti
gifir,
beti
gien,
beti
freedom, north bid.
Marnie peeks at the ball.
Oh, drat.
Great, it's not working. Now what?
Sophie watches her sister. Marnie's eyes widen.
Grandma says that spells are simple, that you just have to want it and then let yourself have it. Okay, let's do it.
Sophie grasps the talisman with Marnie.
Beti ma, beti gifir, beti gien, pleadeth freedom, anoeth be.
The ball glows.
You did it, you guys! It's lit!
I did it! We did it! We're witches!
You can celebrate later. Come on, let's get out of here!
Dylan runs out of the kitchen. Marnie follows, then stops to put on Aggie's red cloak. Later at the movie theater. Marnie opens the door and enters, holding the lit talisman in front of her.
Keep the door open.
Duh.
Sophie hurries to Gwen's frozen body in the front row. She sits beside her and looks to Marnie.
Are they gonna be okay?
Marnie bends and presses her ear to her mother's chest.
I think so. I can hear her heart beating.
Grandma, too.
Dylan and Marnie whip their heads around to the void. Dylan snatches the talisman from Marnie. He waves it over Aggie and Gwen.
Work, you dumb thing! Work! Why isn't it working?
I don't know. Grandma said something about installing it.
What? Installing it? Installing it where?
Marnie stares off pensively. Her gaze falls on Aggie's frozen form.
See, mortal, do.
What?
Do you remember what Grandma said about our traditions being an imitation of theirs?
What about it?
Well, when it's dark on Halloween, where do you put the candle? Come on.
In the town square, vapor drips off the giant jack-o'-lantern statue. Marnie approaches and shares a look with Dylan.
You can't be serious. You're not actually thinking of going into that thing.
I have to. It's the only way to save Mom and Grandma.
What are we gonna do?
Stay here and wish me luck.
Good luck, Marnie.
Marnie flips the hood of Aggie's cloak onto her head.
Good luck.
Dylan puts an arm around Sophie as Marnie heads toward the jack-o'-lantern. Luke grabs her.
Marnie, wait, it's a trap. He's waiting for you.
Out of my way, Luke.
Look, about what happened earlier, I didn't know he was gonna do that to your mom and grandma.
Save your tricks, twerp, okay? I'm busy.
No, I swear. He said all he wanted was the talisman and that he'd let your grandma go.
I said get out of my way.
A breeze rustles Marnie's bangs. She squints and looks up to see dark storm clouds spreading out from over City Hall and casting a darkness over the town. Monsters back away as a twister descends from the overcast sky.
He's coming.
Luke and Marnie crouch behind a hay bale and observe. A cloaked monster materializes from the twister onto the City Hall roof. Monsters trade looks.
Follow me, my fellow citizens of Halloween Town. Too long have we been exiled to this second-class world, forced to live here in this Halloween Town.
Marnie holds up the glowing talisman and regards it.
Gotta install this thing before it's too late.
No, he'll see you. You'll end up just like the others.
Marnie turns to the cloaked monster.
To celebrate evil within us! To reveal ourselves as we really are!
He morphs into Calabar.
Calabar? I can't believe Mom dated that guy.
Follow me! And together, we will reclaim the mortal world, which is rightfully ours.
You knew?
Look, I made an awful mistake. So let me try and make up for it.
Marnie considers Luke.
It's our only chance.
But before we can be sure of success, we must find the one who would stop us. The one who is half human.
Calabar spots a figure in Aggie's cloak.
Oh, young Cromwell. You thought you could hide from me? Stop. Give me the talisman.
The figure strides through the crowd.
I said stop! Give me the talisman!
Calabar leaps off the roof.
Dare you disobey me?
The cloaked figure flees. Calabar hits them in the back with light. The cloaked figure collapses. Calabar scowls and removes their hood to reveal Luke. Calabar's face falls.
Oh, yeah.
Marnie climbs onto the jack-o'-lantern.
No!
Marnie pulls out the talisman. Calabar hits her with magic. Marnie grimaces as the freezing spell takes hold. She slumps and the talisman hangs from her grasp inside the jack-o'-lantern. Her head lolls to one side.
He got her and it's not working. We've lost. Ow!
Sophie smacks Dylan.
You see, my friends, the power of evil is stronger than good. Join me! Join me!
You are not a witch.
Oh, yes, I am, no thanks to you.
There's nothing special about me.
Oh, no, dear, you're very special. You're Cromwell.
Magic is really very simple. All you have to do is want something and then let yourself have it.
Stirring, Marnie drops the talisman.
Believe.
The talisman lands inside a candle in the center of the jack-o'-lantern. A brilliant light explodes out of the pumpkin.
It's working!
Calabar cringes away from the light. In the movie theater, a circle of light emerges from the void on stage and blazes over the rows of frozen bodies. The pirate skeleton sits up along with the bride. Harriet blinks, Aggie revives, then clasps her daughter's hand.
Gwen. Mother.
Gwen, the children.
In the town square, Marnie's fingers curl into a fist as she lays on the jack-o'-lantern. She raises her head, and the talisman's light recedes. She smiles and climbs down. Sophie beams from her hiding place behind a spoked wooden wheel and runs forward with Dylan. Halibar drags himself up the city hall steps, grimacing. Sophie runs to her sister.
Yes! Good going. Looks like you got more than a weird part down.
Gwen hugs him.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, Grandma. Oh, thank goodness you're okay.
Oh, you've got all the power of the Cromwells and twice the guts.
Grandma, it was Calabar.
What?
Aggie's brow furrows. On the stairs, Calabar staggers to his feet. The crowd parts between him and the family. Aggie steps forward.
So it was you?
Why, Calabar?
You could have had me. The most powerful warlock of all. You could have ruled with me as my queen. But you chose a human instead.
Well, it turns out she was a pretty good judge of character.
Your days of rule are at an end, Calabar.
Do not underestimate me.
He summons the talisman to his hand.
Now, my darkness will spread unchecked, and I will be ruler of both worlds.
Aggie shakes a trinket.
Victu, juventus, la vida, upadida.
Gwen grabs her mother's hand.
Don't waste your energies, witches! Your precious talisman is nothing.
Man, that jerk, I'd like to...
Light sparkles at Dylan's fingertips.
Dylan!
What?
Looks like we just added another witch to the family. Or should I say, warlock?
Dylan raises his hands and sees the lights.
No way! I don't have any powers. I'm the normal one in this family. Hey, chocolate bar! You better give that talisman back or you're in big trouble.
You half-human brat! Do you think that your magic is any match for mine?
No. Let's see, my powers, and my mom's, and my grandmother's, and my sister's, and my brother's might do it. Hit it, guys.
The women hold hands and shut their eyes. Dylan crosses his arms at the end of the row.
Silly witches, you Cromwells have failed.
Come on, Dylan, we need you. Believe.
Dylan looks down. Sophie holds out her hand to him, and he takes it, then closes his eyes. Calabar's hand, the light in the talisman, glows brighter.
No! No! No!
The talisman's light consumes Calabar, and he disappears into it. The talisman flies into Aggie's hand. The Halloween Town residents gather as Aggie places the talisman in the jack-o'-lantern. Gwen hugs Marnie.
We're out of you.
Mom?
Yes, sweetheart.
You were right. There was a lot about Halloween Town that I didn't understand. And I'm sorry about the things I said and did.
And I'm sorry that I didn't trust you. You were everything I could have ever hoped for in a daughter. It's so much more.
She cups Marnie's cheek, then hugs her.
Oh, my. You've got quite a coven here, my dear.
I thought they were a handful before.
Hey, it wasn't me. That stuff coming out of my fingertips was probably just static electricity. Or maybe that Aurora Borealis thing I was reading about, you know, something.
Marnie spots Luke walking away.
I forgot about Luke.
Luke sits on the ground in Aggie's cloak with his shoulders hunched. Marnie sits next to him.
Luke?
Luke reveals a goblin-like face.
Hi.
Wow. So, this is the real you?
Want to know the worst part? I wasn't even under a spell or anything. I did what I did because he made me handsome. Guess it wasn't much of a reason for being all evil and all, huh? Especially since even when I was good looking, I didn't have a chance of getting a date with you.
A date?
Yeah, it was stupid.
He shakes his head. Marnie kisses his cheek.
Wow. I guess it didn't turn into a handsome prince, though, huh?
No. But you did that before when you decided to help me. I never could have done it without you. Thanks.
Hey, if you ever come back to Halloween Town, look me up.
I'll do that.
Great.
Marnie grins. Aggie approaches.
Marnie, we have to go. Luke, we have a job for you.
Luke and Marnie stand. In the town square, a crowd stands beside the bus to the mortal world. The Halloween Town residents clap as the family makes its way toward the bus. Aggie holds Sophie's hand and waves. Marnie grins and looks around.
Well, I suppose I'll have to give the children back now.
You know, Mother, I have to admit you're really very good with them.
Thank you.
You know, I was thinking I could use a babysitter on Thursday nights. You know, my PTA meetings, sometimes they go on forever.
Oh, dear, you know that I can't cross over, only on Halloween night.
Well, then I guess you're just going to have to come live with us. That is, if you want to.
Aggie smiles.
Grandma's going to come live with us? Oh, that'd be so cool. Okay, I can show you all my books, and I have all the Frankenstein movies on video, and then you can show me how to... Oh, no, where's my broom?
Oh, don't panic, dear, don't panic.
Aggie's purse glides over.
Yes, it follows me everywhere. Open it up, open it up.
Marnie opens the purse and takes out her broomstick.
My broom!
I thought we could continue your studies.
Yes.
No.
What?
I'm gonna be finishing your training.
Marnie hugs Gwen. Luke sits behind the steering wheel.
All aboard to the mortal world!
Oh, all aboard, all aboard! Come on, the smallest first. Okay.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna figure out how this thing works.
You got the bag. On you go, on you go.
One first step.
They board the bus.
Bye.
Sophie waves from her seat. Dylan sits behind her and does the same.
Bye.
Aggie sits with Marnie.
Bye.
Thanks, kids. See you in the afterlife.
Bye, Betty.
Aggie blows a kiss. The bus levitates.
I can feel it in my bones. Ah! See ya. Come on. Bye.
The monsters and people of Halloween Town look up and continue to wave. The bus hovers in the air near the city hall, then tilts back, shoots into the sky, and disappears. Fade to black. Audio description funded by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Marcia Bartonetti.